Hello, welcome to the show. Well, this is a time of year, the end of a calendar year, when most shows, both radio and television and otherwise, and newspapers, they do a review of the year. They do an assessment of the previous year. So, obviously, I'm going to do the same thing. My assessment of the previous year, are you ready? It sucked.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Was that assessment too short?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's a Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you very much. Well, I guess I have one thing to be thankful for during the previous year, and that has been your listenership. Our numbers on this network have just flown off the map all across the country, and it's been quite a year for us. So thanks for that encouragement. You're really wonderful people when you break it down.
Aww.
I know I talk about people as being rotten and horrible, and you can't trust them, and they're always out to get you, and they'll stab you in the back, and they'll run you over on a bus, or if you're under the bus, I guess they'll run over. I don't know that expression too well. But some of you are very, very nice people.
Aww.
I know. Most of you are. Some of you really suck, though.
Whoa.
All right, I'm just being honest. I'm being transparent like tape. Anyway, it's been an awful, awful year. You know, my favorite number growing up was the number 8. Most people had the lucky 7 going. I never chose a lucky 7 because that's what most people chose, and I don't do things that most people do. Have you noticed that? 8 was my favorite number growing up. I just loved 8. I had a sexual affair with 8. It was my favorite number. This 2000, year 2000 stuff, this new millennium thing has not been a good 8 for me. 2008, the economy, like, tanked. Nobody had any money. Everybody was scratching for help, losing money in the stock market and prices and things and banks and things and things. It was awful. It was an awful year, 2008. People lost their jobs, their homes. All because we trusted other people to take care of these things for us, and then they screwed us in the end. Similar to a missing bicycle seat. Excellent reference, wasn't that? So that 2008 thing, the 8 in that thing didn't work out. The next 8 that came around, that's coming around, is 2018. And I have a real sneaking suspicion that ain't going to be too good either. I still got that schmuck in the White House that seems to make things a bit more difficult for everybody. The author of Art of the Deal apparently doesn't know how to follow his own example. He hasn't dealt with anything and hasn't been able to deal with anybody. The man who gets along with everybody makes more enemies than is possible in one's lifetime. In any event, I'm not here to mouth off about the schmuck in the White House, and I'm sorry to refer to him as that, but whether you believe in his policies or not, let's agree on one thing. That's a walking schmuck. And it may be because he has disabilities. He has delusions. He's mentally not fit. But, you know, under these circumstances, that doesn't come into play. That's just a shame if that's the case. Anyway, and those of you that thought Lucky 7 was a wonderful thing, 2017 was when the banks started to fold and the mortgages were going nuts and everything was horrible. And the car companies were going under and the stock market was dry. It was 2017. That's the 7 in it. I'm sorry, it was 2007. 2017 was the year of crap. That was the year that people had to deal with the choices that they made. It was like getting married in Vegas when you're drunk. Oh, I married you? Now I have to deal with that. Yeah, it's the same thing. It was a very, very strange year. It was the year of women coming forward all of a sudden. All of a sudden, all the women that were abused in some manner, sexually harassed in the workplace especially, came forward. And you know who we have to thank for that? Bill Cosby. I know. Who would think you would thank him for anything? But it was the Bill Cosby case of this rape, basically, that brought women forward saying, no, I'm going to talk about it and I'm going to pursue it. And it seems as soon as that happened, it opened up Pandora's box, and I don't mean in a sexual sense, of women actually saying, no, I'm not going to be silent anymore. I want to tell it like it is. I'm going to bring these people down. And then like a shopping list, these men who considered women to be nothing but objects and pawns and or delights for their social prowess started to eat their stuff. All the crap they were giving women came right back at them. And they lost their jobs and their reputations, and in many cases, their lives. You know what I mean? That was big, and it's still going on. And oddly enough, the guy in the White House is one of the people that have been accused of that stuff. We all heard it on a tape, him bragging about that, him being able to do that. That guy sits in the White House. That guy actually endorsed Roy Moore, who is an accused molester. And I don't care what year, what generation you were. Adult 30-year-old men going out with 16-year-old kids or 15-year-old, whatever it was. I don't care what part of the country you're in or what part of the world you're in. I find it to be sick. I think that's sick. But yet Trump backed him. He didn't believe that Moore was possibly guilty of this because Moore said he wasn't. Oh, okay. That's the Trump legal theory. If you say you didn't do it, then you didn't do it. This is from a man who lies about everything. Am I being too political today? Because I really don't want to be, but I think that guy Trump was like the big deal of 2017, where we woke up as a nation every single morning and muttered the following sentence: what the fuck did he do now? That's what we all said every single morning with this tweeting stuff and this man spouting opinions and attacking human beings if they don't agree with him, asking for loyalty, otherwise I will destroy you, lying left and right, making up numbers and stories and facts that don't exist. And yet I see these fine American soldiers saluting him as he gets off of a plane or a helicopter. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. Anyway, we move on. We move on because this is another year. But let me say something that's a little bit deep. I know I'm not known for deep stuff. Let me say something a little deep, if I may. Will you allow me to do so? I always ask first because I'm respectful of you. Let's make 2018 the year of the people. How about that concept? The year of the people. The year that the people finally stand up and take their country back. But take it back with morality, respect, pride, love for your fellow man and woman. Let's make this country great again. Because the guy that said he was going to do that actually made it worse. The Gallup poll came out recently. 60% of the American public, and I don't know how many people they actually asked this question of. I don't know what the sampling is. 60% said that Donald Trump made this country worse already. He has pissed off basically every European leader, every country in the Western Hemisphere. He has hobnobbed with countries that hug terrorism. He's kind of looks like he's out to destroy the reputation of the United States and let China and Russia take over as the superpower. That seems to be what he's doing with his little friend Bannon by his side. I know Bannon's no longer in the White House, but they sure are like buds. Bannon, Trump, and Putin should go out drinking together because that's a bromance, man. That's a bromance. That's a menage a trois bromance. It's interesting. I saw the signs.
Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Blocking out the sea and re-breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign?
Today's show is sponsored by the Fancy Bastard. I used them for my last holiday party. You should try them for yours. Really good.
Let's be honest. You are socially awkward. You've no idea how to start a polite conversation. You wouldn't know what to do or say if you stumbled into one. And when it comes to talking with members of the opposite sex, you're like a sixth grade wallflower at the school dance. You need help, and you know it. You need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a courteous, prearranged fee, I am now offering wingman services for both men and women. Even if you've got the vocabulary range of a brain-damaged gibbon, with me at your side explaining to people what you rarely meant to say, every drool-drenched bit of drivel that slobs out of your scone hole will sound witty, erudite, and confident. And ladies, don't be shy. Take my arm and we'll go chat with the gent across the room with whom you've been exchanging glances all evening. Don't worry, he won't be intimidated by my extraordinary good looks. I guarantee he will only see me as your good British friend who happens to be incredibly gay. It's a service only I can provide, because I am Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. So do let me know where we'll be going next, you and I.
Background music for that was provided by Purple Planet.
You're listening to The Big Show with Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
You know what I always believed? I believed this since I was a kid. I always believed that New Year's calendars and all that stuff, they got it wrong. I don't know what the Mayans did with their calendar because I don't have one on my wall. And whatever happened to the Mayans, they predicted the future and yet their civilization died off. Why couldn't you predict that, Mayans? Ooh, Ron, putting down the Mayans. Ooh, bold, bold. Yeah, like, what are they going to do? There aren't any left. What are they going to do to me? Ron, the Mayans are pissed. I don't think our show goes as far as the Mayans, okay? Anyway, I never understood why the new year didn't start the day after Labor Day. Doesn't that make sense? That's when the business world begins again. And doesn't everything revolve around business? Be honest, yes it does. Yes it does. The economy, based on business success. Whether you eat or have shelter over your head, based on if you have a job and how much it pays. Everything's based on companies and all that stuff. Nothing is based on you. Nothing is based on your life, your family values. God, that's, you know that's not true. That's been proven this past year. No, it's all based on the success of companies. That's been proven over the prior year as well. So why would New Year's not be starting the day after Labor Day? That's when there's no more vacations at work. Kids go back to school. That's the start of stuff, man. It's the start of the holidays, the biggest company economy event of the year. Yeah, it should start in September. And the year ends in the summer where you wind down and you don't go to work. You get your vacations. That's all at the end of the year. I've worked a very hard year. I've worked very hard. I've done as well as I could have possibly done. Now it's time for me to go into the vacation mode. And that's what the summer is. July and August, people go on vacations. Why, there's no school even then. That's the end of the year. That's the end of the year. Who made like the beginning of the year, the day after New Year's, like January 2nd? What? That's a horrible time to start a new year. It's freaking cold outside most of the country. Nobody wants to do anything. Everybody's depressed. They have post-holiday depression. Are you kidding me? What a horrible time to start the year. You think that's going to motivate anybody? You can't even go out of the house. Spending most of your time heating your home and paying the oil bills and the gas bills and shoveling the driveway and digging your car out of snowstorms, is that the way to start a year? No, it's not. That's depressing. You start the year in September when you're invigorated. You smell the burning leaves and the leaves are changing colors and it's invigorating, it's colorful, it's wonderful, it's the beginning of stuff. You just had a vacation, now you're refreshed and you're ready to go. Your batteries have been recharged. Here comes September, let's start the new year. That's when it should start. But do people listen to me? No, never, ever, ever. They listen to the show, but not to what I say in it. It's like a beautiful woman. Oh, everybody's looking at her, but no one's listening to what she's saying. Same thing. I love people that say same difference. I don't even know what that means. Well, that's the difference and that's the difference, so it's the same difference. You can't say that. You're not allowed to say same difference. You can't do that. Same and different can't be in the same sentence or the same phrase. You can't do that. You're not allowed. Go to school. I don't understand people. I don't know why I can't change. I wish I could just make proclamations like Trump. Just sit down at a desk, be handed a book with a piece of paper in it, sign it, and I have proclaimed something for the kingdom.
I now proclaim that Thursdays will be half-price chicken days. I proclaim this as king of the kingdom.
Did you hear what he did? All chickens are going to be half price on Thursdays. Wow, that's a great proclamation. Yeah, but did you see the proclamation he signed after that? All chickens are going to be twice as much money on Fridays.
Oh, that sucks.
Gotta watch your proclamations, kids. Always mind your P's and Q's and your proclamations. No one likes a good proclamation. No one likes a bad proclamation. No one likes any kind of proclamation whatsoever. Are you wearing your underpants?
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad, and it's not like anyone's ever gonna find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
One of my greatest peeves of the year and of any year, which seems to be growing, is the deal with the cyber attacks. We all have computers. We all have cell phones. Some of us still have tablets. Some of us, because of the stress of the world, are taking tablets. I'm on a few medications. Actually, I'm not. I should be, though. And we can be attacked. You know, it's not bad enough that someone can break into your home. You just lock the door, and that's about it. You know, you're pretty good there. But protecting your private information on a computer, anybody can look you up and find out where you live and what your phone number is and your history and your background. It's not hard for a hacker to get into your email account and to gather all kinds of information and passwords. Your banking account number is online. You make purchases through this machine every day. Give them your credit card number and your little ID code there that they have. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm still like from the 18th century. I'm still getting gout. I had an argument with, not an argument, but a discussion with Tori Lagarde, who does a show with me Fridays. And she does everything online. And I said, I do as little online as possible. I pay my bills through the mail system. She says, you still use the mail system? You still use stamps? I said, yeah. Stamps are the greatest deal in the world. For under 50 cents, you can send stuff to Hawaii and they'll get it there. I mean, seriously, man, that's the greatest deal ever. Yeah, I use the mail. Well, Ron, what if somebody intercepts your mail and opens up the envelope? Yeah, that's possible, but at least my 3-digit credit card code isn't on it. I mean, seriously, man. Seriously, man. I'm very concerned about that. And whenever I can get a cybersecurity person to help me out, I get them on the show. I've got one today. I mean, this is national security. I mean, hacking, you can hack through your municipal water supply. You can hack through your counts, your pants. You can hack through everything. Countries are hacking other countries. Everybody's hacking each other. It's a hack world. It's a hack job. Let's speak to our guest.
Hi, Ron.
Good to speak to
you. I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you.
Phil Reitinger joins us now. He's president and CEO of Global Cyber Alliance. And we're talking about how not to be scammed this holiday season. I can't think of a person I'd rather speak to than you at this point, because I'm getting scammed all over the place, I have a feeling.
You probably are. Most
you probably
do.
Are. You probably are. Okay, that makes me feel better. How do I protect myself? I'm making online purchases. I'm throwing my money all over the place. I'm getting things in email and in the mail asking me to buy things, and they know more about me than I thought they would.
So the most important thing, Ron, is to use your common sense.
All right.
If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. Take real care before clicking on links, because you know those bad people you're talking about are sending you phishing emails all the time.
Yeah.
And they've gotten good enough. They're really hard to spot.
They're hard to spot because some of them have actually stolen logos from other companies. I got an email from CVS offering me things, and I called CVS because I wasn't sure about this, and they said, no, that's not us. Someone's taken our logo. We know about this. That's pretty scary.
Yep. Absolutely. Like they're very good. They'll take legitimate emails from someone and just substitute the link so you go to a different site. That's another reason. You know, there are other things that consumers need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in case you go the wrong place, you need to make sure your software is fully up to date, so you've patched all the stuff. So if, for example, Microsoft or Apple tells you need to install security updates, you need to do that. And there are free services out there, like the Quad9 service, the Quad9 DNS service that was launched back in November, that people can use to help protect themselves as well.
Okay. Because now I don't even trust the updates. When I see that there's an update for something, I'm going, well, is this really an update, or is somebody getting into my system here? And now, you know, I don't even trust that anymore. It's turned us into a world of non-trusters.
Yeah, the big thing on the updates thing is you be really suspicious if you're browsing a website and a window just pops up saying that you need to an update. Mm-hmm. Then
right.
you know if you use a computer a fair amount, you'll see you'll have a better sense
difference.
Of that.
Okay,
but
all right,
it's really important to not click on those things because that's a great way to install malware on your computer.
Okay,
you know, one of the nice things I mentioned before, Quad9 DNS.
Yes.
So this is, if people go to quad9.net, so it's Q-U-A-D, the number 9.net,
mm-hmm.
it's a service that operates in the background. It's free, and it knows a whole bunch of bad sites that are trying to, you know, phish your system or install malware, and blocks those so that you know, if you click on a bad link, there's a good chance you won't go there. So those sorts of things are very important because that's what people need. We can't, people are very smart. But people aren't used to trying to understand what's real and what's false online. So what everybody needs to do is take those things that will help them make effective decisions or make them for them and prevent them from going to bad places.
Okay. How is Quad9 funded if it's free?
Quad9 is free. It was created by a couple of nonprofits in IBM, the Global Cyber Alliance, which I head, and another one called Packet Clearinghouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funded by contributions, by charities, particularly work from Quad9 itself and from GCA, and also from IBM. And, as a nonprofit, it is out there seeking continuing funding so it can be around forever.
Wow. That's the first good thing I've heard in a long time. It is, I'm telling you.
We need to, it is, it's a brave new world out there. If you look at the statistics, it is sort of scary. About 60% of consumers in the U.S. say they've had their computer infected with malware.
Yeah.
About 3/4 of them have mistyped a web address and gone into a site that they didn't want. They mistype Amazon or eBay, and suddenly they end up in this place that does not look legitimate. So it can be very, very difficult. And, you know, there are consumers have over about 35% have stopped an online purchase because of security fears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why we need to get people using these things that are available. And if people are interested in more safe shopping tips, there's a great site called staysafeonline.org, which gives general tips. If they want to learn more about Quad9, again, it's really simple. It's quad9.net. So it's just like 9 letters, including a period.
Okay. Well, God, thank you so much. That's my holiday gift. Thank you. I appreciate that. Because, I'm just growing so skeptical of everything I do online. I constantly get phone calls on my phone saying, which is where you get phone calls, saying, this is Microsoft, your computer is infected, we can help you through it. I mean, I know that that's ridiculous, but I don't think my grandparents know, or my kids perhaps, and it's like, wow, this is very predatory.
It is very predatory, and people are doing the same things online that they're doing with the phone. And they get better and better. Fortunately, the technology is getting better. We need to make sure people understand and use the things that are there to help them. There are the most important thing to remember is to be a little bit suspicious.
Yeah.
You know, I would say don't let that prevent you from updating your computer because you really need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if you get an odd looking pop up window in a browser that says, you know, your computer is infected with malware, click here to solve the problem. Chances are clicking there is actually going to install the malware.
Absolutely. When you go to email, if something looks, how do you know if an email is real or not? In other words, once you click and open an email, sometimes you're in trouble just from doing that. How are there ways to know that?
Well, the biggest thing to be careful of in email is be very suspicious about emails that you don't expect.
Okay.
And unless you're absolutely certain who it came from, don't click on a link in an email.
Okay.
If you clicked on something and said, we're going to send you a confirmation email and you get it right away, maybe you trust that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I would say never, ever click on a link that appears to be from a bank. Because those fraudsters are so good right now.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you can hover over a link with your mouse,
really?
And you'll see it actually doesn't go to Bank of XYZ.
Oh.
I mean, it goes to Bank of XYZ dot something. So it's actually not the site at all.
Wow.
Or people will make up things. So if it's the Fredonia Bank, it might be FredoniaBankingCompany.com instead of FredoniaBank.com. They'll do these lookalike addresses.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Got to be really careful.
Okay. Give me those websites again where I can protect myself.
Sure. So to set up the use of Quad 9, which will work in the background, it's free. It'll help protect you. Go to look at the materials on Quad9, Q-U-A-D, the number 9.net.
Mm-hmm.
And for general shopping tips, how to stay safe with your computer. There's a lot of good stuff on staysafeonline.org.
Perfect. Hey, thanks so much for your time today. This has been extremely helpful. That is so gnarly. That's so. Every day I'm being scammed left and right. You've got to like duck your head and make sure you're not being scammed. It's all defense. It's disgusting. It's a horrible way to live, and That's what we're now used to. This is the way that we exist. We dodge bullets. That's how we get through life. We dodge bullets. Isn't that crazy, man? Sorry, I called you man. I didn't mean to do that. It's condescending. Tory Lagarde will join me tomorrow, and we'll continue our conversations. Thank you so much for being my friend on Facebook. Maybe. Not. It's okay. Isn't it interesting that on Facebook, it's supposed to be a gathering of your friends, and there's a feature on Facebook to block people? Now I've got to block my former friends. I'm blocking them? What kind of world is this? I didn't used to block my friends. I just didn't call them anymore. I wish you peace.